you know, where am I? Where do I want to go? How would I rate my life? And this is, so first, let's start with the why. Let's start with, what are the things that you want to accomplish in your life? And why do you want to accomplish them? Because if you don't have a strong why, I think that it's going to be hard to wrap identity around that and carry it forward for the long term.
My goal is to run the Ragnar Relay this year in the Pacific Northwest. And I want to clock a 7-minute and 30-minute mile or faster. And I am going to train for it, right? So I want to do that. And, you know, the race is in July. That is a smart goal.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
Hey, welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Happy New Year and welcome. I'm here with my buddy Ryan Gibson. I'm Tate Duryea. Welcome back to the show. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Tate, great to hear your voice. Great to be back on the show with you. And today we're talking about something that I think is super critical to the success of anybody, whether you've got a family or a business or an investor, whatever it might be. We're talking about goals, setting goals for 2024 and beyond. And one of my favorite topics is, you know, planning the year and really thinking about all the things that are important to you and fitting all those in. So I enjoyed our discussion today on that. Yeah.
I did too. I think, you know, goal setting is so, so important. It's something that I've dug into for really hard in the last 5 years, I'd say. You know, but we are very busy. I have a full airline career. Ryan, you have 150 employees under your belt and a large company to run. We have time to, you know, spend time with our loved ones and friends. We have time to do this podcast. And that's all because we're very intentional with how we spend that time and intentional on how we plan that time. So we're going to get in today on some of our personal strategies and tactics. And instead of sending you an email with a registration link where we waste everybody's time and we go through this in an open format, we're just going to give it to you right now. So here it is, your goal setting retreat for 2024 packed into a podcast.
Tate, you nailed it. I hear so many times it's like, oh, sign up for my webinar and I'll teach you how to do goal setting and things like that. And sometimes that's helpful. I think the most important thing when you're setting goals is to be intentional about it and actually sit down and give yourself the space to do it. And if that's your thing, there's a ton of workshops and things you can do and webinars you can join to set your goals. But really, at the end of the day, it's about clearing your space. One great example of that is Tate and I. We just sat down and roadmapped the podcast for the next year. And there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of, you know, when Tate and I bring on guests and think about who we're going to feature and what we're going to talk about, that's all kind of like the day-to-day whirlwind. You know, those are all the things that consume your day-to-day. But really carving out time to sit down for 2 days and do nothing but planning, nothing but mission, vision, values, and thinking about the intention of the show and what we can bring our listeners really brings the clarity to go further and go faster and fit this kind of stuff in because we're more precise on the things that we want to bring our listeners and our guests. So really excited to spend that a couple of days with you.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I want to call your attention to the fact that Ryan said 2 days, not 2 hours. You know, I think people think that, you know, you can spend 30 minutes with a scratch pad and sort of set some goals. And it really has to, if you want them to be impactful, it has to go deeper than that. So we spent literally 2 full days. I flew up to Seattle. I actually stayed with Ryan. I got to hang out with Rohan, Ryan's son, and it was great. We had a really good time and we got really clear on the vision, where we're taking this thing, and all the value that we want to bring to all of you, the listeners. We appreciate you so much for being here. But let's dive in. You know, it's the new year. So many people have New Year's resolutions, which I think the stat is 60% of New Year's resolutions have already failed by like today. We're recording this on January 17th.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. We'll start with you, Ryan. What are some tactics that you use, or maybe we can build here on the goal setting strategies that you use for your personal and professional life?
What I love, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, actually says in one of his Instagram reels, he uses the term one day or day one. And this is setting your mindset first. So one day or day one. You know, one day I'll go into a conference and learn about real estate investing, or one day I'll write that plan, or one day I'll do a goal setting retreat or sit down and actually map out, or day one, right? And day one is I'm doing it right now, right? Like I'm just going to write down three goals today and it's the start,
yep.
Right? And, you know, there's a lot of things mentally to think about when you're carving out time to make goals and plan for the season. One, I think you have to think about one day or day one, but really what's motivating you? Because I think motivation can be a weapon to start something, and then also can be a massive hindrance, right? Because, you know, New Year's Eve, everybody's thinking about the new year, what am I going to be? And then they hit the gym one time because they're super motivated, and then they never go back. And the reason why is because motivation was the fuel that brought them to the gym, right? But the habits that are formed are what make you last a long time. And so I think about like getting into good habits is what makes it everlasting and long living. And I think when I, you know, I have to catch myself because I'm a highly motivated individual, like really motivated, yeah. Right? Like I'm more motivated than most people that I associate myself with.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. I'm pretty dang motivated. So my biggest weakness is actually my motivation, because I'm super motivated. I start doing something and then it just sort of like drops off. Right. So right. I always look up to those people who have habitual things that they do every day. So like maybe you go to bed at the same time and you wake up at the same time. That's a habit, right? It's not motivation, you know, versus somebody who, you know, might stay up late and get up early, or stay up late and get up late, or whatever it might be. So think about the habits that you want to form, and you can make them in any little micro environment. You know, if you're a pilot, I always did the thing where when you walk into your hotel room on the layover, you know, the hat comes off and everything goes into the hat, and the hat goes into the same spot, right? And it's like your hotel keys in there, your cell phone, your wallet, everything goes into that hat. Right. And it's like, that's a small habit that now, like, you don't have to really worry about where everything is. Right. Or maybe you get into the habit of, you know, going and hitting the gym right away. Doesn't matter what time it is, you go hit the gym right away. And just little things that you can do that will have a huge impact on things. And, you know, I think of it as like, you know, the other thing I think about is like, how can you make your day 1% better every day? You know, okay, you live today. Today's pretty average, whatever it is. How can I do it 1% better? And that might just be 5 minutes of walking, right? 1% better. And tomorrow you're going to do 6 minutes, you know, whatever it might be. So I think about the motivation and I think that it's good, but I also recognize that when I'm a little bit too fueled by motivation, and then I take a step back and I say, hey, I'm going to try to motivate myself to create a habit. And that's really what I think has been the basic thing that's been powerful for me.
I want to take a step back because I have a lot to share on habits and identity-based goal setting, which is, you know, the idea of, you know, instead of saying, I'm going to go to the gym, it's like you want to instead embody the identity of like, that's just something I do, right? But before we dive into that, I want to kind of back up and take a broader look at, because I think this is something that so few people do, is the why. You know, where am I? Where do I want to go? How would I rate my life? And this is, so first, let's start with the why. Let's start with what are the things that you want to accomplish in your life, and why do you want to accomplish them? Because if you don't have a strong why, I think that it's going to be hard to wrap identity around that and carry it forward for the long term. So one of the things that I want to do is I want to start learning how to paraglide, and I want to go to Switzerland in the summer with some friends and do a paragliding trip. I haven't done that because I'm busy building a business, but that's shelved and that's out there, and that's something I want to do. But if I never plan for it, which I will when the year is right, it's never going to happen. So first, get your arms around the why. Get your arms around what you want to do. And, you know, so many people go through life as a passenger in the back seat of their own life. You know, their circumstances, their spouse, their kids, you know, oh, we got to do this for the kids. We got to do this for this person or this person. And they never take stock of what it is that they actually want and where they want to go, because, you know, you can set your life on a vector that you want. And financially, it's the same thing. It's, if you set a goal, if you set a vision for where you want to be in 5-10 years, if you want to retire in 10 years, you can do it. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. You can learn how to do it. You can learn where to put your money. You can work hard and you can not spend money on other things. And you can get out of your airline career in 10 years if you wanted to. So getting your arms around the why. The next thing for me that's really important is what I call buckets. So you could stand up on stage and ask a room full of really successful people, rate your life in 10 different buckets, right? And they don't have to be 10. It could be 6, whatever. Social, career, finance, romantic, fitness. You're going to be able to very quickly identify where you are on a scale of 0 to 10 on all of those. And you'd surprise you that in a room of really successful people, everybody's not all 10s. Now, everyone has one of those buckets that needs attention. For me last year, it was fitness. I made all business goals. I accomplished a heck of a lot of those, but I didn't make any fitness goals. And so that sort of fell off. So first start with the why. Where do you want to go? Set that vision. Then create as many categories as you want and rate yourself from 0 to 10. And it will immediately become obvious which one needs attention. So Ryan, I'll turn it back over to you and get your thoughts on that.
I love the why, because I tell when I do one-on-ones with my employees every week. And one of the biggest things is, you know, I go over what we call our BHAG. So that's a big, hairy, audacious goal. And it comes from the book Traction. So if you haven't read that book, great book to read. And it's the moonshot. It's the way out there goal that you want to accomplish for yourself. And so our why, our BHAG at Spartan is written on the wall. It says in our corporate headquarters, it says, to create wealth for every Spartan and to have 100,000 active investors. That's our BHAG. That's a big, hairy, audacious goal. And it's amazing when you set that out, it aligns the whole team with what's going on. You know, when we think about buying and building new software, it's like, we have to design this for 100,000 active investors.
So let's take that and apply it to family life, right? Because a lot of listeners are,
yeah,
might not own businesses, and this is all applicable to your family. So yep, deciding whether to take a vacation or not take a vacation, deciding to
yep,
move, deciding to take an upgrade in a new base, all of that stuff can be clarified. The decision can be made much easier if you set your vision, your goal, your BHAG. And now you have a very easy question, which is, does it align with that?
Exactly. And what I always say is live your life by design.
Yes.
So take your family, right? And say, what do we want out of this life? We want to take amazing trips. We want an amazing house with a pool. We want to enjoy time together. We want family. Whatever it is, design your life and write down what you want it to look like. And then everything else gets filled in where you can. Work gets filled in, right? So you're a pilot. You're looking at your schedule and you're saying, oh, I got 18, 20 days off this month. And then that green slip pops up and it's a 4-day and it's worth a gazillion dollars. And it's like, do I pick that up? Right. And so your life by design is going to dictate that. Right.
Right.
I was talking with somebody who there was a, you know, one leg, $5,000 credit trip that popped in there. Right. And it's like, we can just chase these things endlessly. But, you know, when was the last time you took your kid flying or you took your spouse out for a nice date or a dinner? And if you live your life by design, it's going to provide the clarity around making those decisions. And it's amazing that, you know, as pilots, we have to bid our schedule a month in advance. and all the things that go into the days off and where we're going and all that. And it's like, we're always chasing it. It's like, well, you know, my son's got a game and I'm trying to get this off and I'm just junior and this, whatever. And it's like, hey, like there should be that top level. Why? Like, why do I want these things? That's how I bid. And it's in alignment with who I care about most in my life. And then that way we're all aligned, right? Maybe there's a target monthly income you want to hit. So, you know, everybody in your family is aligned with, okay, if there's one green slip that gets me to this, right? And I hit that, then there's no more green slips, right? Or whatever it might be. You know, that's where I think we can, as pilots with our families, we can live our life by design and then fill in work after that. And I think that will lead to a life that might be just a little bit more enjoyable or more aligned with your spouse. And this applies to any career. I mean, this applies to me. You know, when I've gotten the habit of saying no more, you know, hey, you want to go to this meetup? What will I get out of that meetup? Will I get the goals that I've set for myself going to that real estate meetup? Hey, you want to go out? Hey, you want to do this? Hey, you know, all these things that I can do that take me away from the why that I've set with my family. It really makes a lot of clarity. And I've kind of bucketed, to your point, Tate, all the things that are important to me. And so now I can make easier, more clear decisions on the things that I get invited to do and participate in.
Let's drill down on that no, because, you know, we say this in business a lot, is when you're first starting out, you say yes to everything, right? Because you've got an empty calendar and you got to fill it up. And it's like, well, I got to go to meetups. You got to meet people. You want to talk to investors. You want to do this. You want to do that. You all of this stuff. And as you grow, and the same thing applies for personal growth and aging. You know, as you grow, you have more opportunities. You have more financial ability to say yes to a vacation in Italy. You have more ability to go buy a new car. I don't know, whatever it is. The power of saying no becomes more and more important the older you get, the more experienced you get, the more you grow, the more opportunities that you have. Because if you say yes to everything, then every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. If you say yes to that meetup, you're saying no to dinner with your kids. If you're saying yes to that vacation in Italy, you're saying no to a green slip. If you say yes to, you know, it goes on and on and on, right? So the power of saying no and the power of knowing why you're saying no, because it's so easy, you know, you get invited by your family friends, right, to go to Disneyland. And you say, yeah, sure, I'm off. Hang on, like, does this align with the vision? If the vision and the energy that you're trying to put forth this year is to spend more quality time with your kids and with your kids' friends, well, then that's a yes. But if the goal is to, you know, level up financially and to buy your dream house with your spouse in the next 5 years, then maybe the answer is no. Or if the goal is to get in really good shape and the alternative is to stick to your routine. So saying no isn't just about clearing your books. It's about saying no to the things that don't align with your vision. You have to have that vision and do those goal setting sessions first to know where you're trying to get to know what to say yes and no to.
But gamify it a little bit. You know, what I mean is if you go out on a date with your wife, maybe that's 100 points. Right. I always joke that I have a hotel credit points with the wife, right? I can cash in those points and I'll be completely out of them. Right. So maybe being gone for 5 days in a row is negative points, right? Hey, I'm on the road. I'm traveling for work. I lost some points. I come home, I do a date night, I get 100 points. You know, align your goals with a point system. You know, maybe, you know, I'm just speaking from the perspective of being a husband and a father of two kids. You know, maybe going with the boys to play around is minus points. And if you've had a lot of that lately, you know, maybe it's time to shift focus on investing in things and time with the family that might earn those, be in line with your vision, like gamify the system. And, you know, I've said no a lot, and, you know, there's so many different ways to say no. And I always show gratefulness when I say no, like, I'm really honored you asked me, but I just simply can't. Or thanks for thinking of me. It really means a lot, but I'm not able to make it, you know, or whatever it might be, or I have another commitment. And be okay with the other commitment being you just want to stay home and just,
yeah,
you know, stare at the wall or meditate, whatever it might be, right? Or hang out with your kids. There's nothing wrong with saying no. And, and I think that really makes it special too, when you get in more powerful to say no when you can. So the thing that I wanted to talk about too is, when you're goal setting, it's really important to do what I call SMART. You know, as pilots, we love acronyms. SMART goals, right? And if you can't remember this, just think, hey, I want to set SMART goals, and you can Google it later. But that's a goal that is specific, it's measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound, right? My goal is to run the Ragnar Relay this year in the Pacific Northwest, and I want to clock a 7-minute and 30-minute mile or faster. And I am going to train for it, right? So I want to do that. And, the race is in July. That is a SMART goal. Very specific, measurable, achievable, right? Because last year I ran at an average of 7:40. So just knocking off 10 seconds on the mileage, pretty achievable. It's relevant to what I'm looking to do with my fitness. And it's time bound, meaning that the race is in July, right? So that's a SMART goal. So when you're thinking about writing a goal, make sure you put some metrics behind it. And there's a great book on this called Measure What Matters. And it's about the founder of Google setting OKRs, which is a fancy word for saying objective key result. And that provides you with a key result you're looking for out of each of your goals, right? So your objective might be, I want to learn about investing in a syndication. And the key result might be you pull the trigger on one. Right? You actually invest in one. And another key result, you can have multiple key results. So OKR, objective, I want to learn about investing. And then a key result, that's the KR part, is you actually invest $50,000 into a syndication. Maybe another key result would be that you analyze 20 opportunities, right, before making that decision, right? So now you have two key results that are going to drive your objective, which is to, invest in a syndication this year or learn about it, right? And something that's measurable, I think, is really important. And writing down the goals is really critical to anything that you're doing, because if you don't write them down, they don't exist, right? What is not written is does not exist. So,
okay, I want to unpack two really important points that I just thought of here as you were talking. So, the first one is the difference between a lead measure and a lag measure. So let's discuss this real quick.
Love this.
A lead measure is something that will result in the lag measure. So a perfect example is, I want to lose 20 pounds. Well, that is a lag measure. So your weight on the scale is a lag measure. So that actually doesn't make for a great goal. Instead, the goals should revolve around the lead measure, which is, I want to eat healthy and go to the gym. So if you do those things, the weight will follow. You see what I mean? So try and focus on lead measures rather than lag measures. You can look at it in business. It's like, God, I'm not making any money. It's like, well, are you doing the things that will eventually take you there? Well, that if you are, then don't worry about it. Like, it'll come. I've worked with, my wife on this over the last few years as she's become a juggernaut realtor. She's with Compass. She's amazing. She's really good at what she does, but that business takes a lot of time to develop and to build the skill. It's a lot harder than it looks on Selling Sunset. I can tell you that. My mother has been in the business for 25 years. But it's been a struggle as she's grown her business, and she's often, I always tell her, hey, focus on the lead measures. You're doing all the right things. It will follow. So that's the first. The second is breaking down these things into bite-sized chunks. So if you want to run the Ragnar at 7:30, like, that can't just be, you're looking up at this mountain from the valley going, metaphorically here, going, this looks unachievable, right? So I don't like focusing on my annual goals. I like breaking them down into quarterly goals and then further into monthly, weekly, and daily actions. So you start, which is great. You have to have an end point. But from there, don't stop there. Because if Ryan just says, I want to run the Ragnar, and he never breaks it down into quarterly goals, monthly, weekly, daily actions, then you know, time will just sort of slip by and you're not going to end up running. And then it's going to come to be the day and you're going to be like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And you probably won't hit your goal. But if you say, okay, in order to do that, I need to train at this sort of interval. That means that by the end of Q1, I need to be running, you know, like this. So that means we break it down into January, February, March, and then further down into weeks, days, and then what are my daily actions going to be? And then we bring in habits. So I'll kick it back to you, Ryan.
No, I love it. And, I was just actually looking up my family agenda, which we'll go over just in a minute. We don't do the best job of doing this every week, but it's on the calendar. And I think breaking down things into bite-sized chunks, I love that because there's so many apps out there like Strava, for example. I'm a user of Strava. So my goal is 10 miles a week of running, right? And if I hit
run tracker, right? For anybody that isn't familiar.
Yeah. So every time you go running, you just hit, you know, slam the play button and it measures your running, right? It's super easy. And it's free. Actually, you don't even have to pay for it. I mean, I think I paid for the pro membership or whatever, but, because I know that like 10 miles a week, and then maybe when I get closer to Ragnar, maybe it's 20 miles a week. And I know that, you know, my speed and my fitness and all that can lead me to that. So it's a very achievable thing. Part of what I was explaining earlier, that the SMART goal, that's the achievable, that's the A in SMART, right? It's a completely achievable thing. The leading and lagging, Tate, that you talked about is, I think, absolutely critical because you get lost in the whirlwind. So whatever you're doing, like, I just want to do 20 minutes of exercise every day. That's a leading indicator. 20 minutes a day. If I'm not doing 20 minutes of exercise a day, I mean, who doesn't have 20 minutes, right? And so now I try to form a habit where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this at 6 a.m., right? I don't really have to wake up all that early to get to that. It's not that hard for me. I go to bed around 8:39. It's not hard for me to get up that early. And it's not hard for me to put in 20 minutes with the Peloton I have in my garage and my erg and all that stuff. Right. So like that's an easy thing, like an easy leading indicator. If I do that every day, I'll probably get to my desired fitness to hit my goals. Ratcheting that a little bit. Another leading indicator could be the mileage that you're putting in, you know, and running, but 20 minutes a day is like what I try to focus on for exercise. I think it's really critical.
So pro tip, and you know, we should be getting paid by Peloton for this, but I've only ridden the bike like maybe 6 times in my life, but I subscribe to the app and the strength workouts in the app are freaking unreal, especially when you're in a crappy hotel gym with a couple of weights. It's super uninspiring. There's no windows and you're just like, meh. You just throw in some headphones, you pick what you want to do. They've got really great classes. And you can rip, you know, you can choose a filter with like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. All you got to do is just, and they're fun. They're good fun. I did one this morning.
It's addicting. And, you know, in life, it's like you can get addicted to social media and you can waste a lot of time and it doesn't make you any better. Or you can get addicted to things like the Peloton app that are going to make you feel great. And so I think it kind of gamifies it. Yeah. I mean, what I love about, this episode powered by Peloton. Thank you to our sponsor.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just joking. you know, one of the things that I love is like, I love trying to take in the top 10% on the rank. So I'm motivated.
See, Ryan's really competitive. I'm really everyone. Competitive. if you don't already know this.
So like, you know, follow me on Peloton, our Gipso 24. and I love like looking at my friends and what workouts they've done. Anyway.
That's fantastic. Well, not to harp on fitness, you know, the goal setting is just so important to make sure that you are going the direction that you want to go. You know, we say if you're 1 degree off course in navigation, right? After 60 miles, you're a mile off course.
Yep.
Isn't that right? Hopefully that's right. It's been a while since private pilot ground school, but it sounds pretty good. So knowing where you're going is just so important. I want to talk about a little bit about planning the year. So once you've sat down with your family and sort of talked through, and again, this needs to be, if you've never done this before, schedule a multi-day event where you talk about hopes, dreams, pain points, things that you want to achieve. Like this is important stuff so that you don't end up 30 years from now going, what happened? So sit down, figure out where you want to go. And then once you do, planning the whole year is so incredible. So this comes from Jesse Itzler, who is married to the woman who founded Spanx. He's founded Marquee Jet, Vita Coco, and a bunch of, he's a serial entrepreneur, great guy. I follow him on social media. He's a blast. He's a really fun guy to follow. But he actually sells, and I have one from last year. I didn't use it for various reasons, but it's called the Big Ass Calendar. And his whole thing is like, plan your year, otherwise your year will plan you, right? So it shows all 365 days, and he puts all of his personal stuff in there first. Because he's like, if I don't schedule my family time and my adventures with my kids, he's like, every 2 months I go on some adventure with his kids. So it's camping in the snow up in the mountains with you know, a family friend and their kids or something like that. And if he doesn't plan it, then he ends up booking a speaking gig that weekend, right? So plan your entire year, the personal stuff, the family stuff, the exercise, the, you know, when do I want to be flying? When do I want to be off? And if you can't, if you're too junior, it's like, okay, well, you know, there's some flexibility in there, but like at least hold 10 days during the month of July, wherever I end up off, and I'm going to do these things. So something that's super powerful. And I try to do as much as I can at the beginning of the year is I look all the way through to December and I say, okay, what are my business goals? What are my personal goals? And then I break them down and I fill in the entire calendar of these actionable steps of what I need to do every week, every month, every quarter. And I kind of stop the quarter in terms of these 90-day sprints.
Yeah. And one thing that I love, we try to do that to the best of our ability, like plan out all the trips we're going to take. I always joke that I communicate with my wife through Outlook calendars.
That's actually a great, if anybody's not doing this, so have a shared calendar with your spouse. It's totally amazing. Anything that you're planning on doing together, throw it on the calendar and it's shared. So anytime she adds something, it shows up on my calendar and vice versa. It's fantastic. Have a family calendar.
Yeah. And I would say if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist. And if it's on the calendar, you should have known about it. Like, and that usually applies to me, like not looking at the calendar, but,
that's fair.
You know, but one thing we have on the calendar every week, and it doesn't mean we make it happen every week. Sometimes it's bad, but every week we have a family meeting and I want to go over our agenda, share that with our listeners. So it's from 6:30 to 7:30 on the calendar Pacific time. And, you know, sometimes we're on the road, sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's there, right? And there's an agenda written out. And the first thing we do is we go around the room. This is for my 4-year-old son and my 6-year-old daughter and my wife. And we say, we give each other appreciation and compliments. So we just share appreciation for whatever it might be. I really appreciated, you know, seeing you do something, or I loved it when you, you know, shared with your brother, whatever it might be, right? You give sort of a grateful for what, you know, for what something you're appreciative of. And everybody goes, even our 3-year-old son or 4-year-old son now, kind of funny what he says most of the time. And then we give our kids an allowance, not because they did anything. You know, we have a philosophy, and everybody's got a little bit different philosophy, but we have a philosophy of just giving them an allowance because I don't want to pay them for doing chores around the house. They should be doing them without an allowance. So we give them a little allowance to give them a responsibility for money. And then we talk about any problems that they're trying to solve. You know, anything that, hey, you got this problem and we're trying to solve it. And then we help them develop a plan for problem solving. And then we have a good snack, right? So we kind of have like that reward where, you know, maybe we get out some brownies or some cookies or whatever it might be. We have a snack. And then that usually culminates in a game. And there's this great game. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's you pull a card out and it asks like a really open-ended question to the group. And it gets the family talking about something like, would you rather, you know, have, you know, $10,000 or a fancy car, or, you know, whatever it might be. And it gets the group kind of talking, whatever it might be. So, or we play checkers or we do some kind of family game. So I love that. I love the slow down. And then you have the agenda in the calendar invite. So you can sort of just like pull it up and say, okay, we can follow along. We don't have to remember. And it's fun, you know, and that's our family meeting. Right. And so you can do that with your spouse. You can do that with your significant other. You can do that with your friends, whatever it might be. But, you know, just a great way to sort of
So I'll share the other side of this since I don't have kids and I don't have much like a family life like Ryan. So if anybody's like, okay, how do I apply that if I'm, you know, on the road by myself? I sit down every Sunday and I just plan my week. And I just say, hey, this is where I'm going to work out. This is where I'm going to, you know, these are the important events. These are where I need to sort of sit down and prepare for. And that really helps. So even if you don't have a business or you don't have kids yet, you can certainly do that. And I'll share one other thing that Lucy and I have done in various degrees of consistency over the last few years, but it's a huge help. We'll say, hey, what are some big wins? And we'll sometimes do this while we're hiking. We'll say, and it really gets the conversation flowing. We'll say, hey, what are your big wins this week or this month? And it's amazing how when you start talking about what are the big wins and what are the accomplishments, what are you excited about, how it biohacks your brain to start pumping in more serotonin. All of a sudden you get more excited and happy after, you know, we did a lot of that while we were kind of coming out of COVID and we were both building our businesses. We had a lot of long, hard days. We'd hit the trail for a jog at the end of the day and we'd sort of talk as we're going, saying, hey, all right, big wins. And it would just immediately, over about a 5-minute span, you'd look back, you go, wow, I just feel way better after talking about all this positive stuff. So something that might be implementable.
I love it. Well, guys, thanks for listening to this show. I hope there was a ton of takeaways that help you plan smarter goals, help you form better habits, help you have a really successful 2024. We wanted to thank you for listening to the show and we'll catch you on the next episode.
One last thing. I'm going to drop this in the show notes. I have a habit tracker that I'm using. It's fantastic. It's, you can put all the habits that you want to keep track of. It's got 30 days. You just print it out and you put a little check mark or an X on the days that you actually accomplish them. They say it only takes about 14 days to develop a new habit. So if you can get 14 check marks in a row, you'll probably keep it going for the rest of the year. We'll leave you with that.
Thanks, everybody.